Let's just raise our hands and receive from God. Each of you have individual needs. I don't have any doubt that God wants to speak to us, all of us corporately, but he wants to speak to us individually as well. And we just receive his grace for the power of the Holy Spirit to prevail in his word and in our bodies, minds, and spirit, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, normally, I was going to minister on the scripture, leaving those things behind. I pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to talk about a message that I did one time. It was probably way back now, but and I titled it, now in light of the new covenant, we're new creatures, we should not be victims of our past, but sometimes we need to take inventory in our life, especially if, usually around the new year, you're deciding to move forward into the future. And of course, that's God's desire. He wants us to desire the fulfillment of our purpose in Christ, our relationship with Christ. Another year has gone by, and sometimes we struggle with the idea that maybe we haven't grown in the Lord as much as we would like to. So I wanna talk about being stuck in the past. You know, obviously in the new covenant we shouldn't be stuck in anything. I feel that we need to resolve the past in many ways before we can move on into the future. You know, that makes sense to me. If we've got things that are hindering our relationship with God and our forward momentum, we need to eliminate those things and get free from them so that we can move forward without something hindering our past. So, Lord, we just thank you again for touching our hearts today and our minds and freeing us from anything in our past that would be a hindrance to moving forward in our future. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. Now I want you to just smile at me today. Would you do that? I don't know about you, but I like the joy of the Lord. I need to move more, much more in that gift, that grace. So let's talk about the danger. Let's talk about being stuck in the past and leaving the past. The danger of internalizing traumatic events, and sometimes we do that and we don't realize that we've done that, will result in some level of what they call post-traumatic stress disorder. This is a type of anxiety disorder where one continues to relive the pain, fear, and regret of a past traumatic event as if it were happening all over again. So we relive and relive and relive something that happened sometimes a long time ago in our past. Flashbacks, nightmares, and obsessive memories can occur that we really should not be. We should be free from that. So they call it post-traumatic stress disorder, a serious mental condition, and millions of people have it. It doesn't necessarily depend on age. It's a mental condition which is a lasting consequence of traumatic events . And there are three main categories of symptoms when it comes to this disorder. Number one, memories, obsessive memories. I just want you to think about it for a minute. Obsessive memories. You might be stuck in something that happened 10 years ago, or even longer, and you are caught in a memory, an obsessive memory, because of the fact that you just allowed yourself, you didn't resolve the conflict, and you allowed yourself to think it over and over and over again. Avoidance comes from negative reinforcement, avoidance. And then hyperarousal, another term for an increase in anxiety and emotional panic attack. I can think of someone, you know, I can think of people that had panic attacks. And I found a little poem here. Old memories, old sins, old regrets. It seems someone never forgets. They seem to return to haunt me over and over again. When will they disappear? When? Feels like being stuck in the past. I am curious as to how long it will last. I think it's in the next page here, the little poem. It eats away the present so fast that even our future will become the past, that you're stuck in the past. Let's look at Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus' public ministry dealt with post-traumatic stress, which would result in setting people free from past trauma. Now, that's a divine intervention in a situation that emotionally you can't get free from. And you just keep reliving it in different ways. Many are stuck in their past at the same time they are attempting to move into their future You know, I don't believe, you know, I don't believe there's anybody that doesn't want to move into their future and what God has prepared for them. But they're attempting to move into their future and are carrying unresolved burdens. I guess we call that bag and baggage, that are counterproductive to a new beginning and healthy relationships. God's priority for your life is to set you free from the trauma of your sin and the sins of others, guilt, shame, and traumatic events such as losses and abuses of others. And so I put down here possible examples. I want you to think for a moment. I don't have a long message this morning, so, you know, I always say that, and then Carolyn said, "What happened?" Yeah. But think about it for a minute. Examine your life in light of the cross and your past. It's wonderful to think about the truth that God wants, has already really in reality set you free at the cross, right? And you don't have to keep reliving something that happened and fearing that it will happen again. Now, this is one of the things that I tried to learn anyway when I would go to a funeral. And I've done many, many graveside committals where I would try and tell the people that now Jesus is freeing you from the sorrow of this loss and this event that occurred. That's the reason that you bury someone. Okay, so it's over now. You've given it to God, and now you have to move on. Okay, you cannot necessarily stop or avoid things that happen in life. People are going to die. And you have to, I know I went for 2 years when a loved one died, and I just couldn't seem to break free of it. Somehow I kept reliving the incident and the pain. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because He finally came to me and talked to me about it and freed me. And I can't imagine what some people go through. I've never been through the trauma. I've been through traumatic things, but I mean, I've never been through things that some people go through. And I can't imagine how they can handle some of the trauma of what occurred. We see on the, the stuff now, that the constant information that's being put out, I don't like to watch it. I don't, you can turn the TV on and see, and they're always, it's always about somebody's murder What was the one now with the recent one where the, what was that? The kids were, yeah, they murdered their, the son murdered the, I just can't comprehend that. I can't even believe that could happen. I can't even believe a child would murder their parents. But these are the kinds of things that are happening now. If I thought about some of the things that I've been through and what happened and what people did, I can't carry that. I can't carry the trauma of all the rejection that I've suffered, and I don't want to internalize it. It's just incredible. The enemy is after you, and he wants to hurt you to the point where you internalize traumatic experiences that he tries to bring against you. I probably shouldn't have mentioned that. I didn't even know anything about that ministry other than it was a big ministry, and I think it was in Ohio. And this seems to be the what's going on now. So Jesus dealt with this post-traumatic experience. And sometimes these things that occur to people are, we kind of categorize things, but, you know, I think internal hurts are just as real as physical hurts. Really, a lot of your physical hurts come from internal trauma that take place probably in a lot of it, you know. So people get stuck, and then they're afraid. They're afraid to go to church. They're afraid to commit, you know, develop. They're afraid to develop relationships. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to be betrayed. And so they avoid. And they're not free to move on and develop healthy relationships. They don't trust after they've been betrayed and hurt. So then they begin to live in a condition of mistrust instead of learning to trust God no matter what happens and not fear the reality of things that can happen. You need to lose your fear of that and go on in life serving God and being a blessing to others. So God's priority, he has a priority in life. You know, he's Almighty God, isn't he? I mean, he's bigger than what could ever happen to us or what we could ever go through. And there have been people that have overcome tremendous trauma and were freed from it and learned to forgive and learned to be free to move on in God's will and fulfill his purpose. And, you know, I know that that's what you want to do, right? I mean, you want to fulfill God's eternal purpose for your life. As I said last week, no excuses. You know, God would never give me an excuse. And so I stopped trying to find one. because I knew he wasn't going to buy it. And yeah, I've been hurt. I'm sure you've been hurt. I'm sure you've been betrayed. I'm sure that you have hurt people. And that's, of course, where forgiveness comes in, and the freedom that true forgiveness can bring to your life. Okay. Jesus, when he redeemed you, did not make you a victim. Say, I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim of my own sin, if I can be forgiven. I'm not a victim of others' sins, if I can be forgiven. I'm not a victim of fear of the future, because I'm free now in Christ to move on without fearing. You know, just like the scripture "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." Not some, but all. Okay. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So nobody escapes tribulation. Nobody escapes it. You're going to have to face it, and you're going to have to overcome it. So God's only solution is to set you free. Okay, now if we didn't have the Lord, it'd be a real mess, wouldn't it? We'd be full of hate. We'd be full of fear. We'd be afraid to move on. We'd be afraid to trust people. We'd be afraid to trust God. I don't want that bondage, do you? I want to be free to move forward and love people. And even if they don't, even if they're unlovable, I still want to be free. To show the love of God to them. So I was talking about the grave. I understand graves, the grave site, as a place to release that person at the grave site. And at that gravesite, to receive God's grace immediately at that gravesite, to be free from past losses and let them go, give them to God. All of us are going to suffer losses. But what God does with losses is that he turns them into a gain. Okay. I'm using the grave site. I want you to picture a grave site, because to understand a point of contact for closure that may occur, you know. Sometimes, you know, you're rejected. Sometimes I've been rejected. I had to let it go. Lord, take it. I'm more than willing to to forgive. I'm more than willing to reconcile. But if that doesn't occur, then I'm more than willing to receive your grace to be free from that and move on, to move forward. I don't want the past to hinder the present or stop me from moving into the freedom of my future. And I say freedom because that's how we need to move. We need to move in God's freedom in our future. So I kind of like grave sites. We used to do things here once in a while, you know, where we'd say, well, bring up your hurt or the name of a person or the name of an incident that occurred. And what did we do? We put them in a... And then at that point, we walked away free. Say, walking away free. I'd really like to make a little gravesite, you know, out here somewhere where, you know, some Sunday morning we could bring things we wanted to completely release, forgive, receive God's grace to be greater than that situation and move on in freedom. See, wouldn't that be nice to have a... We do have a thing at Sonia's house. She's got a place where she buries dogs. Yeah. So that, we went through a real traumatic experience with a dog. And it ended up, it's buried over there. I've never gone to the gravesite, but I had to release that. You know, God's bigger than all this stuff that can happen to us in life, and it's going to happen. You're not going to be able to avoid it. Some of it you can, but some of it life just happens. Unexpectedly, we end up in a trauma. We didn't pray for it, we didn't ask for it, but we ended up having to face it. And we ended up having to overcome it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And really, quite frankly, we have no excuse for not overcoming. God didn't give us an excuse. God gave us a release from the past. You know, I've had a lot of things done to me, and it's almost like when I gave it to God and forgave, it's as though it never happened. Come on, it never happened. It never happened. Now that's the power of God. I never brought it up again. I never talked about it again. I never told anybody about it again. I never criticized the people that did it. It was just the power of God. This is real. We can resolve anything that occurs. And the most hurtful things are with people. That's the most important. You know, relationships are everything. You know, we've all suffered loss, you know, of material things, and we got over it. So let me keep along we're going to keep moving here now, but just, you know, I want you to think about where you're at right now. Are you planning on moving forward in your life in the reality of overcoming your past? I just asked you that question. You can't do anything about your past other than to give it to God and give it a good burial and believe that God can take it and actually glorify Himself as a result of it. I like the gravesite, not because it represents death, but it represents God's life in overcoming death. Receiving God's grace for healing and closure, and verbally releasing your personal right to that relationship, loss, and right for vengeance back to God. Let me say it again. Receiving God's grace for healing and closure, and verbally releasing your personal right to that relationship, loss, and right for vengeance back to God. You know, one time God gave me a tremendous opportunity, and you know, the enemy would always bring that up. You know, he'd just keep, you know, I could have been really enriched, let's just put it that way. And because I didn't trust the person that was trying to give me that blessing, I didn't receive it. And I think about it right now, and of course it would have resulted in, you know, and you know what? I had to forgive myself for not listening to the Holy Spirit. I missed an opportunity that God was trying to give me. And I finally just had to say, hey, stop. I don't want to hear what I, you know, that I missed this. And, you know, I had to let it go. Okay, so by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now I'm going to move on here. Our time is... Are you still listening? Okay, just give me a big smile. You're a new creature in Christ. The old man was crucified with Him. And you don't have to act like an unsaved person when it comes to this life and traumatic experiences that are going to happen to you. Okay. Forgive loss. Life can seem... Forgive loss because life can seem unfair. So I said, free yourself from being a victim. Life can seem unfair. But what happened to Jesus? I mean, there's nobody that ever lived on this planet that had more unfair things done to him. And yet, God took what happened to him and turned it into the greatest eternal blessing that could ever occur in this world and in eternity, okay? Think about what happened to Jesus and think about the end result of his forgiveness. Think about it. Think about it. think about where forgiveness went, true forgiveness resulted in the greatest blessing that ever came to planet Earth. You know, God can take your forgiveness and turn it into a major blessing in your life. You know, I see how the Holy Spirit, there are times I just had such a desire in my heart to bless people that wronged me. Well, what is that? That's Jesus. That's his desire. Act in faith at every trauma that occurs. Release it to God and believe it's God's perfect will to work out for it to work out for your good and his glory. I'll say it again. Act in faith, not in unbelief. Stop reliving the incident and have faith to believe. At every trauma that occurs, release it to God and believe it's God's perfect will to work it out for your good and his glory. Quit reliving it. Stop expecting God to move through it. Quit bringing it up. Quit contaminating others with your offense. Right? Because that's just what happens. The carnal mind is at enmity against God, and it tries to poison, you know, and then you've got what you call division. It's ugly and it's evil, but it occurs because Satan uses it. Resolve it in your own heart, and it will, you won't have the burden of it anymore. Now, here's what the cross is a place where the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Do you hear that? Just that one statement, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. When we go to the cross, we don't have to have all that unrest about what happened, because we're free from it now and it doesn't affect us anymore. We don't have to rehearse it. We don't have to repeat it. We don't have to poison people with it. It's dead and buried as far as God is concerned. That's why I like the idea of the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We don't have to be in the turmoil of our past and things that didn't work out, because Jesus already carried it to the cross. Why are you really reliving it? Why are you troubling your heart and losing your peace over it? In other words, he took all our past, present, and future post-traumatic stress on himself so that we never again need to be a victim. Now that is really the reality of the cross. That is the truth of the cross. Whether I'm falling short of that glory or stumbling over it doesn't make it any less true. Right? It doesn't make it any less true. Isaiah 53:5, if we could just, yeah, here we are. But he was wounded, we heard it this morning in our communion, right? But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He carried all that. He carried all that. He carried it. Why are we carrying it? Why are we carrying all that trauma, all that trouble, all that's been done to us or we have done to others? We just sometimes we don't understand the potential or the power of forgiveness. It goes way beyond human understanding, but it's real. And so we are so vulnerable because we are created to internalize. You were created to internalize. That's the nature of man and your relationship with God. We were created to internalize in our heart. And it's very dangerous when we are internalizing things that are destructive. See, we're created to internalize the truth in our relationship with God. It's God's highest will that we internalize His Word in our heart. And we become one with what we internalize, treasure or trauma. So be careful what you let into your life. Be careful to be quick to forgive. And let me give you a couple warning signals that were stuck in the past here before I close. I put down six. I don't know. There could be more, but I'm warning signals that you are stuck in the past. You are constantly talking about the way things used to be. The way things used to be. Boy, I could just make a real message out of this, but I'm not going to. You argue that the past will always be better than the present and the future. Okay, so we try and say, well, the best is yet to come. Because it is. The truth is, the best is yet to come. Christ is going to return. Tell me that isn't the best that's yet to come. Okay. And I believe that when I go through a trauma and I resolve it and forgive it, that the best is yet to come out of that whole thing. Okay. God is in it. God is in forgiveness. Forgiveness results in not only temporal consequences, but eternal consequences. And then number three, you have no real vision or expectation for the future. We should be alive with expectation for our future. God is. God has expectations. God has planned our future. Obviously, we need to cooperate with Him. He can't bless unbelief. And we can't continue to be stuck in unbelief with no hope and not receiving His help for our future. I don't know about you, but we were created to move forward, not backward. You continually fail to plan for a better future. Okay. That's number four. You resist or despise counsel that can help you change. Okay, we need to be able to take counsel from people to encourage us to move forward, not be stuck. And then you have anxiety when you think about the future. What's your thoughts about the future? Do you see any real hope? Do you see any of God's real fulfillment of those things that he's prepared for those that love him? Say, he's prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Your enemies is always going to be there in this life. I wish we could get away from that aspect of it, but it's not going to happen until we're out of this world. I don't know about you, but I really believe that you really, really, really want to move forward in the future, don't you? Why do you want to move forward? Because God has a future. He that had begun a good work in you will continue to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Some things seem impossible. There's roadblocks in front of you or attacks on you, and it just seems hopeless. It seems impossible. And then when forgiveness is applied, the blood can erase trauma through as though it never happened. Okay, and I think I had scriptures down here about our heart is sacred, and we have to be careful what we let into it. Amen? Now, next week, if the Lord willing, I will talk about moving forward. Have already kind of started the message. I don't know about you, but I'm leaving the past behind and pressing forward, reaching forth for what is in front of us and what God has planned. And let's just stand right now and thank him for. Lord, thank you that our future is in Christ and you planned it, and we receive, Lord, the grace that enables us to fulfill our future. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Be healed. All right.